Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's News Tonight, the weeknight news show where we're joined by special guests and our lovely patrons to discuss the day's gaming news. I'm your host, Derek Bittner, and I'm joined today by my good friends and GVG co-founders, Ash Paulson and Steve Bowling. No guest today because, really, this is kind of a this is going to be more of a chill TNT because I think we've each had a bit of a, like, we all feel kind of worn down today for various reasons. Nothing bad, like, outright terrible. Well, mix up for maybe Steve, who's had a hell of a weekend that he's telling about
quite
us.
Quite the weekend.
Yeah, that was crazy. He was telling us before the whole thing began. But, yeah, it's just one of those things where it's just like, we just want to take it easy. And none of the news is too crazy. And the other thing is that we'll still be covering that. It's just going to be much more casual. No stuff coming up. And, you know, it's all symbolized by Garfield here, who Amy has wanted me to have this thing on TNT for a while now.
Nice.
She's super proud of her Garfield phone. But
oh, man,
doesn't
that's
work.
The phone?
Yeah, that's the phone.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, man. I remember reading a story several years back where there's this beach somewhere in the world where old Garfield phones just continue to wash up. Like,
oh, gosh.
At random.
That's so weird.
Because, like, a boat full of them sank, and they're slowly leaking out of the hull of this ship. And so you could just walk along the beach and find a Garfield phone.
there's nothing really all that funny about it, but I think it's just, I mean, there's something hilarious, even though it's not really on its face that funny, and I think that just speaks to the kind of Monday it's been.
It's just that weird thing.
It's just it's a Monday. Sure.
I like how people have taken the Garfield comics and just sort of remixed them in order to make them funnier. Like the Garfield without Garfield was the original one, and now they have ones where every comic setup ends with him getting thrown out the window or something like that. it's genuinely hilarious. So yeah, I don't know, but
Jared Ettinger in the chat is mentioning exactly what the problem actually is. They say, hungover from a wild weekend? No, and I wish that's what the problem was. There are no wild weekends anymore. There are no hangovers anymore because we're not doing anything. We can't go anywhere. We can't, you know. I mean, yes, we can go out to dinner or whatever now with the way things are opening up a little bit, but, you know, I want to go to a damn house party or something. I want to go hang out with some friends.
Every day
is the same these days. It's just driving me crazy.
I don't know if this speaks to how I've changed over the course of this pandemic or not, but legit, the thing I want to do most is get together with both of you guys in the same room and just do one of these.
Hell yes.
I want to do one of these with all of us in the same room.
God, I would love that so much.
That'd
bring
that'd
Brandon
be
for good
wonderful.
Measure, too. He can man the,
absolutely.
The board.
But, no, if we had a studio like the Easy Allies do, we all lived in the same place, had a studio. I mean, of course, they can't use the studio as much these days, I guess, because of the pandemic. But I wish we could all record in the same physical space together. I wish that was a possibility, but it's not.
Because I'm sorry, Ash. I am not moving again anytime soon. This
oh no, I wouldn't expect you to.
A nightmare in its own.
No, moving's the worst. I wouldn't expect you to at all. And we'll just have to wait until the first show we can do as a team, which I can't wait for the first convention we can do as a proper team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited.
Real quick though, before we get too into this, because we do have our sponsor, and of course Mondays are sponsored by The Game Orb, and this episode of TNT is brought to you by The Game Orb, who is a fledgling channel focused mostly on Nintendo content. It's currently running Let's Plays of Splatoon 2, Super Mario 35, and two new starting playthroughs, Super Mario 3D All-Stars and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, plus plenty more. So you can subscribe to the Game Orb at the link in the description. And we've got them to, I believe, around like 167 subs right now. So let's push to 200 and continue to show them the GV Gang's support. But also, they do want us to promote their friend's YouTube channel called Galactic Reaper, who will also have a link in the description below. So that's very kind. They can use their sponsorship of us to help promote their friend as well. So that's very kind. So
yeah,
let's send them both of them some more support and show them that we're chill dudes, I guess. I don't know. that we have the best community.
I am going to post a link to Galactic Reaper's YouTube channel in the chat and pin it so you guys can go check it out and subscribe and all that good stuff. Please, show Galactic Reaper all the support you've shown the Game Orb. We really appreciate both of you. Thank you so much.
So, I guess I'll dive into why I'm really out of it today, because it wasn't a bad weekend. I had a good weekend. It was just today kicked my ass. Because Kai, lovely boy that he is, decided he did not want to fall asleep until about 1:30 last night.
Oh, he's just poor guy.
He's just up for a while, and I had to take him on three separate drives because I was like, okay, let's see if I can take him on a drive earlier for him to fall asleep. And it lasted for about 15 minutes after I got back home. So I went for a later one, and I did my rotation, came back to bring him in, and our neighbor's AC unit is massively loud. Not too bad in the house. You can sort of hear this dull noise out there, but just horrendously loud when you're out there next to it, which, hey, that's where the driveway is. Getting him out of the car, and as soon as I open up the door, and he's up. I was like, son of a... So I put him back in, start driving around some more, and it just took forever. And then the kid decided to wake up at... 6 a.m. Amy was not feeling well. She did not have a good night's sleep. So I gave her a break. So I'm up at 6 a.m. and trying to give her as much sleep as possible. So Kai and I hung out until about 10:30 this morning, just chilling together. And I have not really had a chance to really make up with my sleep yet. So I'm just sort of in a bit of a haze, but it's okay.
Sure. Sure. Oh, poor guy. Well, I'm glad he's feeling a little better now. Hopefully Amy's also feeling a little better.
Oh, yeah.
Caught up on sleep.
I wanted to, I'm like, really, kid? Because what happened? It might be just an air conditioner / heating unit, I guess is the way to put it. I don't know what they call it. But we got this nice divider. Thanks to my grandmother, sent us hey, we want to get you a little extra something for the move in. So I got a divider for the little room that I have here, that knows my office. It's just offshoot from the bedroom. So to make it more separate and feel more like an office space, and so when I'm up late at night editing TNT, the computer's light from the computer screen doesn't keep her awake, we got a nice little divider that we set up, and we got it all together today.
Very cool.
And he somehow fell asleep and was all good, and we're like, well, we got a drill in order to get this thing installed, so probably gonna wake the poor kid up again. Slept through the entire drilling. This kid wakes up
at
the drop of a hat, but the entire time we were drilling and getting this thing put in, he was out. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Wow. That's incredible. So
my son is trolling me, as you can see.
Hey, at least he's learning early, right? At least he's learning the art of the troll early. That's so frustrating. Yeah, I mean, I they're just, I guess, kind of just life in general, right? It's just kind of weighing, and like I was just telling you guys, every day's the same. Every day's for me and my wife, it's just every day. We'll go out once in a while to socially distanced restaurants, but I think we're just so sick of being home all the time. And it's not exciting. It's not, I think we both just want to spice life up, right? And normally we would do that by traveling, doing any number of things, but we just can't do that these days. So I think we're just kind of feeling the burn. I know I'm feeling the burn in terms of just wanting to do more, wanting to just have more experiences and travel and just, I don't know. Everything just feels like it's the same day in and day out. But that's also, I know that's something everyone's feeling and understands. Mm-hmm. And
I'd love to go out to the movies. That was always my little escape. Was like, I'll go. I can take an hour and a half, 2 hours, just get away from it all, watch a movie.
My escape used to be that I would just honestly go to like a Target or a Best Buy or something like that and just window shop. Like without the pressure of feeling like I need to hurry up for my wife or my kids or anything, just take some time to go. The other thing used to be I'd go to my best friend's house, but he moved away, so that's not a thing.
He's going
to his house and have a drink or two, play some couch co-op games. Ever since he moved, it was more just go window shopping, go look at stuff. I'm not the type of person, despite how I may appear online, that is very outgoing or has a lot of friends, okay? So I have my one good friend, and he's gone now. Except for you guys. My one good local friend is what I should
say. That's a better way to put it.
The thing for me was, and I'll just give you guys for those of you in the audience, the Cliff Notes version as to why I might not be fully myself today. My dog almost got hit by a car. I went to the Grand Canyon with a screaming child the entire time. I barely slept. My water got shut off. Someone stole my Amazon package. I had a really eventful weekend. and none of the events were good. I am fine. My family's fine. My dog, most importantly, is fine. But it was just like my heart rate was at an 11 out of 10 all weekend long, and I'm ready to just chill out.
Of course it was, man. I can't even, you know. Yeah, I mean, as a former and soon again dog owner, you know, I can't imagine having. I've never had that happen though, and that's got to be the scariest, just most horrifying experience. I'm so glad your dog's okay.
There are things in your life that happen in slow motion.
Yeah,
dropping your phone. getting in a car accident, and apparently also almost seeing your dog get hit by a car. That was really, really fucking terrifying. Like I was on the side of the road walking my dog on her leash. She was properly leashed, but she got really excited when she saw my wife and our other dog on the other side of the road. And it happened so fast that I don't know how she did it, but she got her head completely out of her collar and then just started to book it into the street. And there was a car coming real fast. And fortunately, you know, I instinctively yelled out her name and dove for her. And it was just enough to get her to pause for a split second. And the car just went right by. And my soul left my body. Like I was telling Ash and Derek, once it was all over and the wave of adrenaline hit me really hard, I just barfed. My wife was like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, retching on the side of the road. I'm like, "No, I'm not okay."
Yeah, of course you're not. Oh man. Well,
I mean, I did not have a case like that was as harrowing. But I remember in the before times, Amy and I were walking in a local park with her dog, and you know, just taking it easy. And that her dog gets loose and it just likes to run. It is a pain because it's one of those. It's like, oh, you're close to me, I'm going to run away now. Like, it does not like to come to you.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing that she tells me is this dog was the top of her class in training school.
Really?
Yeah. I don't quite understand that one.
That's funny.
But either way, something similar happened to Steve where she just was able to, like, the way I was holding it or something like that, she was somehow able to get loose from her leash. And I'm like, oh, I don't feel like chasing her all over this park. So it happened to rain the night before, and that's important because as I went for her, my foot slipped in some nearby mud, and down I went into mud. Like, just entire right side of my body covered in mud. And the funny thing is, that's actually what caused her to come a little bit closer to me. And we were able to get her relatively quickly. But then I was punished even further because another dog owner came up and decided to spend the next half hour, 45 minutes breaking down the way to train your dog.
Oh, God.
And just couldn't get away. And like he had one of those things where like he was like at this clicking thing and all this other stuff. And I'm like, I'm just looking at this, like, it's like trying to just, and trying to get towards the exit to go to the car because I'm covered in mud and I want to go home and change. Yeah. I want to go home and change. I'm not in a good mood, but I'm like, all right. And the guy keeps going, but I'm looking at his dog as he's taking all this, like how he's so well behaved and does what he does. He knows he's mastering. Like, this is the most miserable looking freaking dog I've ever seen in my life. He's just, like, he's not happy. He's just like, yep, I'm here.
Life is just endless work.
Yeah. Right? It just, I can't enjoy anything. It's just, yep, listen to the click. Okay, sure.
Right. Yeah, that's not fun for anyone involved. I remember I tried the first ever dog I had. We tried to train her, took her to a training class, and it was mostly kind of, an epic fail, essentially. This dog, I loved her to death, and I always will, but she was the laziest Yorkie I've ever known. And, like, I couldn't even get her to jump through, like, a little hop over a little hoop to get a treat. She would just every time she'd duck and swerve underneath it to the side, so she wouldn't have to do any work whatsoever. And it never stuck. So she was house trained, but we couldn't really get her to do anything more than that. And she was just like, "I really don't care. I'm gonna put as little effort as possible into anything you try to make me do." And I was like, "You know what? And this was years and years and years ago when I was still living at home. I was a kid. So as an adult, you know what? I respect it. I respect right. where she was coming from.
You respect
from.
It more.
I get it. I get where she was coming from, and I understand.
In its own way, that's its own kind of hustle, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it really is.
Utterly committed to laziness.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Break Room, Brandon, Voice of God, Break Room Arcade in the chat mentioned their own slow-mo moment that they had in middle school. They had a carton of milk thrown at them in a middle school food fight. That was a slow-mo moment.
I never encountered a food fight in school.
You know what? I don't think I did either. I did have a food fight thing. Not a food-related thing, but you go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, the most disappointing thing in the world is when you somehow have one of those moments of extremely heightened awareness, and you still can't do anything to fix what's happening. I remember I was very, very broke, and I had bought my first MacBook, which... big purchase. Like a MacBook Pro is like $2,000. They're very expensive. And I dropped it. I dropped it from like shoulder height. I was holding it and I dropped it and I watched it like fall. And I was like, just stick your foot out and it'll be fine. And my body just didn't do it. And I just watched it impact the cement right like 2 centimeters away from my shoes. I was like, I'm really disappointed in myself right now. My brand new MacBook has a dent because I can't move my feet.
That is the worst.
That's heartbreaking. Was it? It was, I missed. Oh, yeah. Adam Davis in the chat says, my dog once walked into the pool and just sank. And that's pretty funny, but I'm going to assume that that story does have a happy ending, right? I'm sure your dog got back out of the pool at some point. I just want to make sure that that's as funny as it sounds and not really sad.
I pictured like old video game mechanics where your character just walks into water and they're still just doing the walking animation as they go to the bottom.
Oh, 100%.
Oh,
speaking of
the dog is dead now.
Oh.
Oh.
Not related to the pool.
Oh, not related to the pool.
Oh, okay.
Jesus Christ, my heart, Adam. Like, I... Okay, I'm glad it's not related to the pool.
At that point, the dog is just suicidal.
My heart. Okay,
my God.
Speaking of video games, I was just going to say that I did have the chance, thankfully, to sit down this weekend and play Bowser's Fury. So I was going to play Bowser's Fury first, but then I got sucked back into Super Mario 3D World and had it remind me why it's actually one of my favorite 3D Mario games. So I had to replay that first, even though I 100%ed it on Wii U. Nice. And then I played Bowser's Fury. Fun little experiment. It only took me maybe, 5 or 6 hours to get all 100 cat shines? But cool little experiment. Yeah.
I've only had the chance to play through the first set of islands, but what I played was fun. Though waiting for Bowser to open things sucks.
Yeah, that's
like I think that killed all menace he has.
Yeah. The whole Fury Bowser thing, or God Slayer Bowser, as I prefer to call him, that is both really cool and also really not, depending on when you need him to show up and kind of where you are and what you're doing at the time that he decides to show up. So it's definitely both a good and bad thing.
I think Bowser's Fury is perfectly paced for a 50 cat shine run.
Sure.
And that back 50 makes the seams show really bad.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. But I am glad that it came hand in hand with me being just reminded how fantastic Super Mario 3D World is. I loved it back on Wii U, but I'd kind of just forgotten about it a little bit, I guess, in favor of games like 64 and Galaxy. And Galaxy is still my favorite 3D Mario, but you know what? Super Mario 3D World is in my top three favorite 3D Marios. It has to be. I love the way that game does not condescend to the player. It starts off with the kid gloves coming right off. I mean, it's just, it expects more of the player than most 3D Mario games do. Sure, they'll shower you in lives. You don't ever have to worry about getting a game over. But you'll also lose a bunch of lives, too, going through route if you're not prepared for the level of challenge that game wants to throw at you.
And well, you're also blow through lives if you're playing multiplayer.
That, too, especially if you're playing multiplayer. But yeah, I just feel that the game requires a level of skill and dedication from the player that a lot of 3D Mario games, especially more recent ones, don't. And I really like that about it. So just a little aside on how much I reminded myself that I love 3D World.
Nice.
I really want to play more of it. I beat it for the review. But I've been holding off on playing it more because Mario 3D World on the Wii U is the very first video game my daughter ever played.
Oh,
like in
cool.
her entire life. And so I've been wanting to, you know, because I taught her how to use controllers with that game. And so I really want to come back now that she's almost 8 years old and have her play it on the Switch with me and just, you know, as kind of like a weird, like, gaming growth chart, if you will. Mm-hmm. Like, have her come back to it and be like, hey, let's play this. Now that you're at an age where I don't have to explain what the jump button does and I don't have to explain basic mechanics. I would love to see how she handles it now versus how she did when she was much younger.
Nice. That's so cool. That's awesome. I didn't realize that was the first game she played. That's really neat. The other game I'm working on is Steve Knows. I've been kind of chipping away at The Last of Us Part 2.
Yes.
And this is a game that I'm not... Steve says that it ends. He says it ends. But I have to believe that it ends, but I still... It keeps going, and I can't believe how long this game continues to be. And I think I actually am pretty close to the end now, according to what you said, Steve. But this is one of those games where, like, I want to finish it, but I also don't, because there's nothing good or happy or uplifting or hopeful or even slightly just a smidge positive about how I know this is going to go. It's just horrifically sad and horrible, and I hate it, and I don't want to see how it all ends, but I have to. I hate it, but I also love it. You know, it's like one of those things.
You know, I do want to say, though, real quick, games need to have bad endings more often. Like, bad outcomes, I should say. Not, like, bad ending in terms of just a shitty ending, but, like, games shouldn't always end on a happy note. There should be more games where you just end on something bad. The ultimate way, in my mind, to set up a game for a sequel is to have a bad ending.
Like, that's why I actually really like the setup for Dragon Quest Builders, the original one, because the idea of it is this is what happened to the world if the hero chose to join the Dragon Lord.
Yeah,
in the original game. That's a cool setup.
Yeah, it's compelling. Like, I can't believe I'm about to make this comparison, but Rocky 2 was only as good as it was because Rocky 1 ended with Rocky losing.
Right. You could probably say the same thing as Star Wars Episode 5, right? Empire Strikes Back? Like, that's the thing that...
Yeah, the characters try so hard, like,
and they lose at the end.
They eke out some victory, but for the most part, it's like, ugh, this is rough.
Yeah. Yep.
I love it. I just wish more games would shy away from this idea that you need to make the player feel good at the end of the game.
Yeah, I agree.
Amy's kind of the antithesis of that, because she'll be outright depressed if it doesn't have a happy ending, because she just feels everything so much.
So I'm curious.
See, I'm kind of like that. It's tough. Yeah.
What's her take on Age of Calamity's ending then?
I think she enjoyed it. I think she enjoyed it. I'm not sure how much she played it too much, but I'm not sure how much she saw me play. But I think she's okay with it. I think she liked that idea.
Interesting.
A more recent example, and I'm not going into spoilers, but she wasn't the biggest fan of WandaVision's ending.
Oh no, I loved it. I loved it in the sense that it hurt. I mean, it was great to watch, but I feel, of course, horrible for Wanda, but yeah.
You know what's interesting? My wife Ashley also hated the ending. Like, she ugly cried for like a half hour after it was
over. Oh man, I definitely cried.
I felt so bad for her, because she started out with this show being so happy with all of the homages in the beginning. She's like, "Oh, this is so cool!" And the more it became Marvel, like, the more I could see her kind of checking out as time was going on, as those pastiches went away. Then they're non-existent in the final episode. So, like, I felt bad for her, and we needed something happy. So we went on Disney Plus and we watched the Brandy version of Cinderella.
Oh, nice.
Which,
very cool. Yeah.
Which I remember watching that as a kid, and, you know, she was enjoying it, because it is cheesy as hell, but, The one Whitney Houston song when she's the fairy godmother has been stuck in my head ever since. Exactly, Brian Calabro. Impossible. That song has been stuck in my head ever since we watched that on Friday, and I can't get it out.
did Amy approach WandaVision as a Marvel MCU fan, or did she approach it as someone who just wanted to watch, like, oh, this sitcom, and this looks really cute?
She's, like, watched a few things here and there, but she's not a...
Because if you're not like going into it from the standpoint of wanting to see what happens in the MCU and see where these characters go, that it gets WandaVision gets heavy, and so I can see why maybe that wasn't her thing. And that's the thing is, oh, go ahead, Derek.
She has found herself kind of interested in Doctor Strange though, just because we liked watching all the theory videos, and everybody always mentions, you know, how Wanda's back for Multiverse of Madness,
right? So. I agree with you, Steve. I do think more games need to be okay with having sad endings, and not every game needs to have a happy ending. But I will say, I have found it to be a struggle to always be in the mood to make progress in Last of Us Part 2, because I know that when I sit down to play this game, I'm going to have fun, but it's a very specific kind of fun. It's not going to make me feel better about my life after I'm done playing it. And so it's been hard for me to finish the game, just because, you know, I'm playing it amid the pandemic, right? And real life is already pretty sad. So to play a game about a much worse pandemic where all these people are doing horrifically horrible things to each other throughout, and you have to kill dogs, you know, not a great feel good game.
No, not really.
And as I think about it, it's funny. I think about it now that I've had a weird experience with Last of Us, because I played The Last of Us Remastered. I actually had to give up on my first playthrough of The Last of Us Remastered years ago, because I happened to be playing it while this is when I was still working at Udon full-time, and I happened to be copy-editing a manga version of Les Mis. And I had I couldn't drop work, because work is work, right? So I had to stop playing The Last of Us because, you know, you got Last of Us on one hand, you got Les Mis on the other. It's a lot of sad. It's a lot of sad. So I had to restart Last of Us Remastered later on once I'd finished my Les Mis project.
Ash was briefly a member of the Depression Olympics.
Right? Yeah.
Vedran Hotik just beat Persona 5 Strikers. And yeah, that is a happy game. Although that is kind of bad it's torturous in another way because of the pandemic going on. Because the whole thing is they're going around Japan for a lot of these things. And most of the time, and you'll feel this, Ash, they talk about how good the food is constantly. They'll talk about, oh, we're here, we got to eat this thing. And we're here, we got to eat this. And it's like, I want it. I want to try it. Mm-hmm. And the whole camping aspect, the whole going around the country, it's so homey. It feels like a nice road trip. And it's like, dang it, I want to be able to do this. This sucks.
Nice.
But the game is lovely. I really did enjoy it, and the review's up, so you got my thoughts there. But otherwise, I did take a bit of time since if anybody was wondering what happened to the Road to Endwalker series, basically when I went to edit it, which was about 5 hours of video to go through, the first hour and a half got corrupted. And it was just not cooperating with me. And I basically, after spending like 3 or 4 hours working on this, it's like, I still have to actually watch all this stuff and get it edited. And I was like, okay, I can't. I'm going to lose interest in this game if I do it in this method. So I, basically I'm only going to be streaming or showing off 14 when big things happen, like massive raids or maybe some more important story stuff. Like maybe towards, like, once I'm at the final few things of the Realm Reborn main story. Because it's from what I've seen with Amy, because she's way ahead of me, it gets pretty epic from what I can tell. Just listening, it's like, holy crap. So that's probably a good point to stream. But otherwise, I'm making pretty decent progress through the game. It is still lovely. I'm looking forward to you guys checking it out, because I feel like you'll really dig it. There's some great, great remixes in there.
Nice.
And I just unlocked the other night the gold saucer. There's a gold saucer in this game.
Oh, what?
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
it is.
I gotta see that.
Oh, it's cool. basically, there is so much to do in the Gold Saucer. There's so instances cool. where you can earn extra stuff, whether it's a shooting mini game that you can do. There's a platforming mini game that you do, which is an odd thing in an MMO. There are little mini games that you can do that are cheap to play, but they're callbacks to how the gathering mechanics worked in the original 1.0 release of Final Fantasy 14, and my God, they are awful.
Oh, wow, that's funny.
If you think about it in a way, like outside of a game of chance for just fun, it's like, oh God, if I had to actually do this, because it's like, oh, you have to chop in order to chop down this bit and get your materials, but it's constantly going up and down, and you got to stop it at a certain point, and like, nope, not there, try another place, not there, try another place, and you only get like 6 hits. So it's like, oh, this sucks. God.
Right.
It was not a good mechanic. Other stuff that you can do, they have a game where you're. It's kind of reminded me of Fall Guys, because you're in the center arena and Typhon is rotating around, and you got to try to figure out where he's going to stop and be out of his way, because he'll blow players off, and you got to last. If you can last more rounds out of the 5, you get more of a reward.
Okay,
so
nice.
It's fun how they work that in. And as far as the main ones, they have lottery drawings. Triple Triad from Final Fantasy VIII in the game, which, oh God.
What? Triple Triad, that brings me back.
Triple Triad's in the game. It has, I think there's 512 cards to collect in the game, which is ridiculous.
Let me tell you what I will not be doing as part of what I fear will already be a huge time sink in Final Fantasy XIV when I do start it in May. But yeah, I don't have time to collect over 500 cards.
And
have to ask. You mentioned Typhon. Ultros has to be there too, right? You mentioned Ashes. Typhon.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, you kind of cut out a little bit, but it'll be there. Yeah. What were you saying?
So you mentioned Typhon. Ultros has to be there too, right?
Yes. During the shooting game, he showed up for me.
Nice.
Just hanging out in the background. So Ultros was there, and as Brandon in the chat is mentioning, there is Chocobo Racing. I can't do it yet, but there is Chocobo Racing. So there's that whole aspect. And another thing that I'm probably never going to touch, there's Mahjong. And I just took a quick glance at the rules. I'm like, nope. I have never understood Mahjong. I am not touching Mahjong. No.
Yeah. is there a snowboarding game?
Unfortunately not. There's no snowboarding minigame. But there's a lot of like cool...
0 out of 10.
It's a good way to get mounts, minions, special other things. It's fun. It's easy to lose a lot of time in there, and I'm still trying to get through. I was so disappointed because I reached level 30, finished up all of my Lancer quests, which mean to me it was like, oh cool, I can now become an official dragoon. I'm ready for it, and like I finished it, and I'm like, why is it not happening? Why is there no mission? So I looked it up. And I'm not far enough in the main story quest. Uh-oh. I'm like a dozen story quests behind from unlocking the ability to actually become a dragoon. I'm like, son of a gun. So,
well, you'll get there. I will eventually get there. But I am looking forward to playing it starting in May. I don't know what to expect. All I know to expect is a lot of Final Fantasy fan service and great music. And my first ever MMO, really, that I'm like really going to spend serious time playing, I think. So I'm excited.
Yeah. It's really cool. The more I play, I think to myself, an Ash would like this.
Wolfx Blake says they added the regalia from 15, and it's a 4-person mount. And let me tell you, it's the coolest thing in the game.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And that's so cool.
It'll turn into its flying form when you get flying mounts.
That's so cool. I love that.
What?
Wataniac asks, hate to kill the flow of things, but did we start the news yet? No, we haven't, actually. This is kind of a more freewheeling, casual show. Just kind of, we open it up to all of our patrons, not just the live audience. Just kind of shooting the shit. But we are going to discuss some news topics here pretty soon. We just have a more casual show today.
Yeah.
So.
Real quick, though, I want to circle back just for a sec. Just because Derek was talking about... road trips and food, and I saw that Brandon our friend mentioned that he edited our other good friend Roger Bass's Japan trip for him, and that it was just, man, no, that is just touching back on the pandemic real quick. I mean I've gotten huge during the pandemic, but I am utterly terrified of what'll happen when I'm finally allowed to travel again, because one of my favorite things to do when the world was normal in the before times was to travel and purposely seek out whatever, like, the hot spots were to eat at wherever I went, because it's just a fun thing, like, to
to
see, like, you know, where the where's the place that the local people wherever I'm at like to hang out, what is the legendary restaurant, you know, around these parts. And I'm still gonna do that, but I'm easily like 60 pounds heavier than I was, and I am terrified that I'm gonna be like, I've got to make up for lost time now, I need to eat everything.
Just,
and I've gained so much more capacity for food.
Oh, so. I guarantee you I will be doing that. I mean, I certainly have gained a little bit of weight during the pandemic as well, and I do need to get that off. But when we're able to travel again, my wife and I
all bets are
literally
off.
Oh, all bets are off. My wife and I in the before times already liked to eat our way through Japan. Like, we would just eat our way through the country of Japan because the food there is just so incredible. And we will be doing that again as soon as we can, regardless of my weight or our weight or whatever.
Yeah, I if it wasn't for Amy, I'd probably be gaining weight along with you guys, because I certainly wasn't the healthiest. So she's a good influence on me. So
that's good.
Thank God.
Yeah. I will say, like, whenever we get to do this, the other thing I want to do, and this goes back to GVG, is I want to meet the guests that we've had on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have, through TNT, I've met so many awesome people, Roger being one of them, you know, Scott, all the folks that we've had on this show that have been so incredible. Like, I'd love to actually meet them. And she says he's awesome.
I would. Oh, he's such a great guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a lot of fun to hang out with in person too.
For us to all be able to get together again and hang out and do stuff like that. But we do have like a couple news stories. So.
Well, I mean, I was actually going to, you know, we had a very natural segue to one of our news stories, because, you know, they're not going to have any graphics or anything like that. We're just talking about some of them that caught our interest. And, well, Super Nintendo World is officially opening in Japan on March 18th.
Oh, speaking which, of food.
That's cool. I don't know. Hopefully, I mean, hey, if things are going this well in Japan that they're able to open like this, I guess we'll see Sakurai in the office for the next presentation.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is I didn't think things were going well with the pandemic in Japan. So this actually surprises me that it's happening so soon. I thought they were really struggling with it as well.
I guess they got it back under control.
I guess. I hope they did, because, I mean, this seems like it could be a really, really dangerous thing to have happen if they're still really struggling in the worst of the pandemic. So maybe things have gotten a little better lately. I hope so. Or maybe they'll open at limited capacity, like 25% capacity, but I don't know if that's what they're doing.
Maybe, so. But the other thing is that, you know, Nintendo of America tweeted this out as well. It's like, really? You're going to do this to us?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, this Nintendo Everything News story does not say they're opening at limited capacity. Sorry, Steve, go ahead.
I was going to say, to be fair, I just looked up the statistics, and they are trending downward.
Okay.
But they're not by any stretch out of the woods. It shows that as of the 7th of this month, there were 1,722 new cases, and the 7-day average was 1,038 new cases a day. So not terrible numbers, but I mean,
and I think
you want
our
that
numbers
number
are starting
to zero as possible.
Yeah, I think our numbers are starting to decrease as well, but they're still massive. They're still way too high. And the other thing,
wow,
what?
So just real quick, the same data point, the same date, right, for the U.S. Number of new cases, remember, Japan's was 1,700. Mm-hmm. Ours is 40,336 new cases, and Japan's average was 1,038 cases per day for the last 7 days. Our 7-day average is 58,745.
I'm so tired of us.
I really am, too.
I'm so tired of us.
Because somebody mentioned here, you know, it's like, cool, everybody's getting the vaccine, and people are starting to get that, you know, get the shot. How much, you know, how much you want to bet there's a lot of idiots out there? It's like, oh, yeah, I got the shot. Didn't actually get the shot because they don't want to wear a mask.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm hoping, I was talking about this with my wife last night. I'm hoping that by the third or fourth quarter of the year that we start getting shows opening up again, like PAX, like things I like hope. That. But I hope that as a condition of attendance, you are A, required to wear a mask, and B, required to present proof of vaccination.
Yes.
Because you do get proof that you've been vaccinated. So when you apply, they should say, hey, you also need to send in your vaccination card to prove that you have received the COVID-19 vaccine. I would be okay with attending a show if that was, if the requirements were that strict.
But yeah, that is me too.
Almost certainly the only condition under which I would gladly attend.
No, I agree. And it's such a difficult ethical consideration too, though, because and not so much where shows are concerned, but like travel, for example, like, you know, to get to PAX, we would need to travel to Seattle. And I would also prefer to travel knowing that in order to fly, you have to present proof of vaccination and, you know, temperature check, whatever. But I also know that when it comes to traveling, there's an ethical concern there where should people be grounded if they, for whatever reason, religious reasons, whatever, don't want to get the vaccine. And I get that, but at the same time, I also get not putting people at risk, especially people who can't make that choice if they want to, you know, to be put at risk. So I feel much better needing proof of a vaccination to fly, to get into events like this, concerts, raves, conventions. Yeah, I hear you, Steve.
Yeah, for me, it's interesting because the same type of person that would complain about being required to wear a mask or being required to show proof of vaccination for something is usually the same type of person who, when things are going their way, will talk about, you know, the marketplace voting and businesses having rights to make decisions on their own. Mm-hmm. So, hey, take a teaspoon of your own medicine for once. And, you know, if you get told you can't board a plane because you don't want to wear a mask or you don't want to get vaccinated, well, man, I guess you're going to have to. This is,
I'm reminded of a Futurama quote. this is the worst kind of discrimination, the kind against me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, that's well said.
So I was curious because I went onto the Universal Studios Japan website to just see how much a ticket to Universal Studios cost. And for 12 or over, it's 7,800 yen with tax. So, whew, about $80.
Those are you're inching up close to Disneyland prices there.
I know,
yeah,
right?
That's one day. Children ages 4 to 11 are 5,400 yen with tax. And seniors 65 and over are 7,100 with tax. So seniors don't even get that much of a discount.
Well, I've been to Universal Osaka twice before Super Nintendo World was even a thing, and I believe that's what the prices were then as well. So that registers as pretty normal to me. From what
I wasn't familiar with Universal Studios Japan, so I was just curious.
Right. It's more than anything, or more than ever, it's seeming like no matter how fast we all get vaccinated, no matter how, you know, how this all goes, masks are probably here to stay for the long term, you know, right?
And
and that sucks, but at the same time, like, maybe it's just me, or maybe it's just us, I don't know. But I don't really care about, I don't mind wearing masks that much. I don't like it, I would prefer not to. But it's not ruining my life to have to bring a mask with me when I go out and put it on when I walk into a grocery store or wherever. I just don't get the feverish hate for
masks. I'm going to play devil's advocate here for just a minute.
All right.
Only because I do think that there are some – I find – one, I wear a mask everywhere I go. And I probably leave the house more than any of the three of us because I've got so many kids. So there's always a reason for me to go pick someone up from school or go do something else. But I don't mind wearing it just about anywhere I go. That's fine. Except I will say when in the rare instances that I have to wrangle all four children and other stuff at the same time, I find myself just out of breath. I mean, I am like to the point that I will in certain instances have to like find a quiet place to go sit down and just pull it down for a minute and get a few good breaths and then pull it back up and go. And I'll do that outside. I'm not indoors, but I mean, I'm reminded of the last time I really took a major trip with my family because we went to Michigan to go see my wife's parents because her dad's house had just caught fire and there was, you know, just it was a bad situation. We needed to be there. So we took the kids too. Well, we took two of the four kids, but it was 110 outside here in Phoenix. And I was walking with two kids, one who was asleep in a car seat and luggage. And I mean, I'm just pouring sweat. I can barely breathe. Like by the time we got to the escalator just outside the airport, I was like, all right, I need a minute to recompose myself before we continue on. And by the time we got to the actual like area to board, I felt like I needed to get that damn mask off so bad. I mean, I didn't. I still, you know, stuck with it for the next 3 hours as we flew to Michigan. But the minute I was in a place where I could take it off, I was so relieved. I mean, but those are extreme circumstances.
Right.
And I mean, and someone in the chat earlier, it scrolled past me. So I apologize. But someone was mentioning how it's not fun to wear a mask when you have glasses, because your glasses fog up. And I will say, I very rarely wear glasses going out, but I did a couple of times, and yes, that's a pain in the ass for sure.
It doesn't happen as often as when it first started, though. That's I guess good. I figured it out. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is I posted this on Twitter. I recently had a GVG mask made up. I'm going out. I may as well rep our brand. And the masks are... I guess I've been used to like wearing the same three or four cloth masks for a while now. They've just become a part of my wardrobe. Mm-hmm. But this is my first brand new one in a while because I recycle the same ones. You know, I just wash them and wear them again. And the GVG mask was like really tight. Like it was, because it had never been worn at all. And my wife tried it on and she was wearing glasses. And sure enough, like within 2 or 3 minutes, her glasses were completely fogged up from her own breath. And it was the funniest thing in the world to me. I was like, is this an anime? Gosh. Like, are you really excited right now?
Yeah, I love it. That's cool.
She's plotting. She just needs to go like, the sheen goes on. Oh, God. Jenny G, I visited Florida back in September and the humidity with a mask was painful. Oh, God, that sounds awful.
Yeah, I bet. I've never had to wear a mask in humid weather before. We don't get a lot of humid weather out here in L.A., so I haven't had to do that yet, but I can imagine that's not fun at all.
Yeah, and for those of you that are asking, just because I've gotten, no joke, probably about 30 questions about this since I posted that dumb selfie on Twitter, the masks are definitely, we're planning to sell those. I just want to find, I wanted to verify they fit. I still want Derek and Ash to try them out, too. Because it's not fair for me to make that decision by myself. But if and when they do go on sale, they will be at a minimal profit because the point is to help you get a mask and not to bilk you on getting a mask. But if you want to make us some money from merch, we will have a shirt. And that we'll actually see some profit from. But the idea of the mask is that we're going to price it as low as we can afford to without losing money on each one sold. Because if I remember correctly, $1 of it goes to help feed the hungry, which is really cool. And then, we can charge. Basically, they let us charge up to the point where they would lose money. And that's, you know, they're okay with us making nothing, but they got to make something. So,
Of course.
Yeah. So more to come on that. But I will help the guys get masks ordered today and shirts ordered today. And then hopefully soon,
I'll do that right after.
All in GVG merch on one of these episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say I'll do that right after we're done and get that ordered so we can try it and get these on sale so people can get them, because I can see from the chat that a lot of you want them, and not even just today. So many of you very graciously want to buy GVG merch, and that is happening a lot sooner than I think any of us expected.
I think
merch was something that we always planned to do, but probably significantly down the line, but we just didn't expect to grow as quickly as we have and have people want merch as much as you do. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll let you know. We'll keep you updated on merch stuff as soon as we know more. But the first samples have come out pretty good, but we made some tweaks to the shirt, so I gotta make sure those are good to go, because I wasn't super happy with the first run.
Right. Well, another story that came out today that we, I guess, could have reacted to if we wanted to, but even though we know nothing about it, involved Monster Hunter, as the presentation today revealed that Monster Hunter Stories 2 will be releasing worldwide on July 29th, and there's going to be a second Monster Hunter Rise demo on March 11th that adds in an advanced quest in which you fight the box monster,
Magnamallow.
Magnamallow.
Okay, yeah.
So, which is
Brandon in honestly, the chat. Honestly, I cut.
Yeah, exactly. Brandon's not wasting any time.
I know Brandon, yeah.
Is it just me? It's like, hey, I don't know anything about Monster Hunter, but it feels weird to be like, hey, here's a demo where you fight the box monster from Pokemon. Like, just imagine, like, cool, here you go, fight Lugia as our demo.
Right. My understanding, and I know Brandon's probably going to roast me for this for trying to speak out of turn, but it's for me that what I have gleaned from years of observing Monster Hunter is that it's more in like the setup for how you approach these hunts, because they are more open-ended. Like, you know, you can set up any number of ways for these hunts, but I don't know that that's like, I don't think it carries the same weight as like a legendary Pokemon, for instance.
Sure.
Yeah. According to both BJ Bovia and Brandon, the flagship monster is never the final boss. So
that's what I understood as well from the Monster Hunter art books I've edited for Udon. The way the monsters were, I guess, just separated in each one for each section. I was like, oh yeah, this is the box monster, but it's not the ultimate monster.
You think this guy's awesome? Nah, he's a chump. Here's a real
exactly.
Here's the real challenge.
You know, weirdly enough, July's kind of filling up all of a sudden. We've got Monster Hunter Stories 2. Now we've got Blaster Master 03 is also July. Skyward Sword HD. Like, July's like filling up for games I care about. Because as I know, Steve, you mentioned this too, none of us here are huge Monster Hunter hardcore fans, but I think the story-driven experience that Stories 2 seems to kind of embody is something that would appeal to us personally a little more. So I mean, I'm kind of curious about Stories 2.
The little bit that I saw of Stories 1 seemed fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
agree. It seemed pretty entertaining.
The one thing I will say is that character design and art style can carry a game a very long way for me, and Stories nails it. I love the look and presentation of that game.
I do too. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, BJ Bovia says Stories are legit JRPGs. That appeals to me. Okay, you sold me right there. If that's true, then if that's the Monster Hunter JRPG story-driven experience, I'm down to check that out for sure.
I'm just glad that I can say my summer is mostly spoken for at this point, because we've got Skyward Sword HD, which to me is a tentpole release in July, and then No More Heroes 3 on August 27th, which, hell yeah. Speaking real quick, just a quick shout-out. Our friends at Nintendo Force sent me over this, which is nice. Their latest issue of the magazine, which NVIDIA blurs this out way more than it should, but this is their No More Heroes 3 cover story. It is excellent, and I recommend you check it out. There's also an interview with Suda51 in the magazine, which is also really great.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah, there's not too much I'm seeing in March. It seems like a pretty chill month, which is pretty cool. Other than on the 26th is apparently when everything comes out, because that's when Balan Wonderworld, It Takes Two, Monster Hunter and Monster Hunter Rise come out. So everybody just waited for the end of March in order to release a lot of things. Although of those, It Takes Two seems interesting. Be fun to play with Amy. Balan Wonderworld, well.
Yeah. I love that I don't know what to expect from that. Yeah.
I can't wait for Ash's review of that game. I'm looking
for... Oh, have we decided I'm reviewing it? I thought Derek was, but I'm down.
I mean, oh, I don't know. One of the two of us, I figure.
One of you guys.
If we get it early.
Interest.
But April is even more exciting, because that's when, you know, Oddworld fans get Oddworld, Soulstorm, Saga Frontier Remastered just comes out, and new Wonder Boy, Asha in Monster World.
Oh, right. I got to play that.
And then, of course, towards the end of April is when we get Nier Replicant and new Pokemon Snap, and the same day as new Pokemon Snap, Returnal. So it's like, damn. And
man, that's perfect. April, there's three of us. There's three big games.
Yeah. I'd love to take Nier Replicant, but I have a feeling it's pretty much Pokemon Snap for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously a huge Nier guy as well after playing it. It's like we're the opposite, Derek. We both love Nier, but you've only played the original, and I've only played Automata. So we're coming at it from opposite ends.
It'd be interesting how you feel about that one.
That sounds like a great discussion topic.
It would be. If we can get two copies, I would love to do a discussion with Ash about...
I promise to give it my level best.
Resident Evil 8
that's also
is No, it's May 7th, so very quickly. And then on the 14th is when the Famicom Detective Club games and Mass Effect Legendary Edition comes out. So basically, once March hits, there's a ton of games coming out.
What happened in June? This year not being full?
I know, right? Yeah. And then June is already Ratchet & Clank and now FF7 Remake Integrate.
Oh, yeah. Which, this is ridiculous because Remake Integrate comes out one day before Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. Why? Ooh, also... Oh.
Derek,
Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart comes out the same. Oh, screw you, Ash. Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart comes out the same day as Guilty Gear Strive. 7 Remake Integrate comes out the same day as Ninja Gaiden Master Collection. Like the way they're step like layering on top of each other. And then by the end of June, that's when Legend of Mana comes out, as well as Mario Golf Super Rush.
Yep.
Oh, Mario Golf.
We have so much to play.
And as Vedran Hotik reminds us, there the rumors going around about the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles coming at some point.
Oh, yeah.
And I would imagine that would probably be timed somewhere during summer, is my guess. What did happen to there not being that much coming out in the next few months? Now there's everything coming out.
I know. By the way, I love that No More Heroes 3 comes out on the 27th because Kena comes out on the 24th. So
right.
That's one competitor down, at least.
I know.
Yep, sorry, I would burn every other review copy to the ground to play No More Heroes 3.
I don't blame you.
It is my number one most anticipated game this year.
You know, I think if we, I know some people asked if we could do, since Derek and I have been joking about, you know, like settling it in Smash or some other game to decide who gets to review Kena. If we can get two copies from them, I think we'd be down for a co-review. Like, oh, yeah. I would be down for that. It's just a matter of whether we get two copies or not.
I need to figure out who's publishing Kena. Is it SIE?
You know,
I don't actually know who's publishing.
Let me see if I can find out. Hold on.
I mean, the homies at Sony are usually quite kind. But
developed and published by Ember Lab.
Yeah.
Who the hell is Ember Lab?
The developer, the guys who did that whole thing.
I'm looking.
Oh, they partner with Sony Interactive Entertainment, so it's a console exclusive deal.
Right.
So
it'll either be Ember Lab or Sony handling the codes.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
Yeah. I would imagine in this case it would probably be Sony.
Yeah, that'd be my guess.
That's my guess, yeah.
It's kind of been showcased there quite a bit. And yeah, I'm not sure. God, that game is gorgeous. Just looking it up,
really
I'm like,
is.
I want to
so
play
excited.
This now. Like, I'm with you guys. Oh, hey, I got an email address. I can deal with this. Okay.
Cool.
I'll talk to Ember Lab tonight.
We have a lot of time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a few indie contacts, but Ember Labs is not one of them.
Yeah,
I think they just got formed for Kena because they did that whole Majora's Mask fan film first.
Oh, right. They did do that.
Mm-hmm.
Forgot about that.
Man, I'm the year's looking pretty good. Just need time to review to play them all. That's
still
the tricky
can't
part.
Get over the fact that the deluxe edition of Kena for PS5 is $50. Like,
right.
What the hell? That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's probably going to be, I'm going to guess that's going to be a 6 to 10 hour game.
I agree.
It's probably going to be relatively short. But, hey, if it's fun, it's fun.
Yeah.
I got over my whole thing as a teenager where it's like, oh, it's only 6 hours. I'm not going to buy it.
No, if anything, that's a blessing these days when something's a little shorter.
Oh, Jenny G says apparently Kena isn't getting a physical copy? Really?
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah,
honestly,
for self published for the most part. Yeah.
With budget titles like this, you see them go digital more and more. I'm just curious about. I agree with you, Derek. I think that this is probably a shorter than average game, and that's why they're charging, because it's definitely not like they skimped on the visual presentation. The game is one of the best looking games I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So it speaks to the fact that it probably is like a 6-7 hour kind of game, something meant to be just played through once and enjoyed and not really picked back up again.
Yeah.
I imagine that if it really takes off, we might see Limited Run or Special Reserve or someone do a limited physical print, but that's the way these things tend to go these days. Plus, it costs so much less to publish if you're only doing digital.
Right, exactly. Right. Well, actually, speaking of interesting things coming out, hopefully soon, we got a trailer for a gameplay trailer for Fantasian, which is the new title from Mistwalker that unfortunately is coming to Apple Arcade first. And hopefully it gets ported to other things. But related to Fantasian, hinting at health issues, composer Nobuo Uematsu, who you of course know from Final Fantasy, says his last full soundtrack might be Fantasian just because of his health. So
that's so sad to hear. Yeah, apparently I didn't realize this, but apparently Uematsu has been suffering from some sort of undefined health issues for a while, and so
yeah, ever since September 2018, it looks like.
Right. So I guess there was some mystery as to whether, or uncertainty as to whether Uematsu would even be able to compose Fantasian at all, and apparently he is, but that this may be his final full soundtrack that he ever composes, which. This sucks, man. I don't want my gaming legends to get old and sick, and this sucks.
Yeah.
You know? Well, let's be real. This hints at something a lot more morbid than just being sick. I mean, when you take time off, years off, because you're sick, and then you say, this is my last gig, I hate to say it, but the implication there is very grim.
No, you're right.
At least let's hope retirement is what actually is happening.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't mean by any stretch that he for sure is you know, that the worst is to come, but it does not bode well either.
He really does have such a good working relationship with Sakaguchi, though, because he does so many of the Mistwalker games.
He does.
Games.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Fantasian, despite being an Apple Arcade exclusive, is using a 60-piece orchestrated soundtrack. So,
wow. You know, it's funny.
They're going all out for this game.
About this, and I said I wasn't really inclined to pick it up, but I mean, if it's Uematsu's last soundtrack, that honestly makes.
Did you see the more recent trailer where they talked about how the gameplay works?
No, I didn't.
And showed off a bit more. It honestly looks really impressive. What they've pulled off here.
It does, actually.
And the effects on it. And the gameplay systems are pretty interesting as well, because you can, apparently, it's been a while since I watched a trailer, but there's an option in the game that allows you to stock random battles that you go through. So you basically turn them off, you're not encountering them, and then you can choose to go into a different mode where you take on those battles that you just sort of shirked off for now, but it's one massive battle.
Oh,
dude, that sounds badass.
That's kind of cool, actually. Yeah,
and the way you have their spells work, they have like arcs to them and whatnot. So you even it kind of behooves you to do that because you can hit more of them at a time. So it's not like you're out of like outnumbered or anything like that. It's just dealing with more of them at one time. It's very unique, and God, this needs to be on something other than Apple Arcade.
I know. Or just mobile. I mean, it's the same issue with Ever Crisis, right? It's like, I want to play this game so much, but on anything but mobile. I mean, I'll play it on mobile. I will. Mm. And I'll play Fantasian on mobile, too, because this is something I would like to experience for myself. But, God, I wish I could play it on a console. I do.
Yeah.
Ugh. But I love it when RPGs go out of their way to kind of switch up random encounters in new and unique ways. Not just letting you turn them on or off or skip them, but, you know, like this idea. That's a really cool idea, letting you stalk battles and then fight one large battle instead. Same thing with, like, Bravely Second. That game had a system where you could string together encounters and basically, like, get experience multipliers by getting certain bonuses in battles and stringing encounters together, allowing you to grind super quickly. And as I understand, that's a version of that system does make its return in Bravely Default 2, but I think it's locked behind an item, from what I understand. I haven't played the game yet, so okay. I can't say for sure. But I love it when RPGs find a way to like inject some uniqueness and creativity into the whole idea of random encounters.
Yeah.
Agreed. Man, I just signed up for Apple Arcade, hoping that I could find Fantasian on there, only to find out it's not on Apple Arcade yet. I remember we discussed another game.
Yeah, it didn't release yet. There's other games, but...
There was another game we talked about recently that I think is on Apple Arcade, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to pick it up because of that, and the chat roasted me for it. Now I can't remember what it was.
I'm not sure which one.
I'm not sure either. I know the only reason I ever signed up for Apple Arcade was because of Shantae, the first part of Shantae 5.
Yeah, same here.
But
I've canceled my thing, and I guess I think you only get one free trial, so much for Fantasian. But I think the last bit of news that I personally want to cover on here that came up, just speaking of RPGs, Bandai Namco dropped a new Tales of Arise trailer. It exists, and more info is coming this spring. Though I've seen people who follow the game a lot more closely say that this trailer doesn't really show any new footage. It's just like, hey, remember this game exists, and it's more information is coming soon. So it definitely changes up the feel of Tales mm-hmm. compared to all the ones I've seen.
It sure seems to. And there seems to be... I don't follow Tales super closely. Like, I've played Symphonia and Vesperia. I liked them, but I'm not, like, a hardcore Tales fan. But just from a distance, there seems to be more hype surrounding Tales of Arise. Like, more anticipation and more hype surrounding Tales of Arise than there has been for any new Tales game in quite a while, I feel.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I can't say why that is for sure, but yeah, it looks beautiful. I'm watching the trailer right now. Mm-hmm. Even if it isn't new footage, it looks great. Like, wow. But yeah, I don't know why exactly it that is the case surrounding Tales of Arise, but at least within the context of its own series. But it does seem as though there is a level of anticipation for this game that there maybe isn't reserved for every single new Tales of release.
It might be because it feels like it's been a while since the last Tales game. Because I feel like this is a series of RPGs that comes out pretty regularly. At least mm-hmm. it felt that way from the outside. I don't know what it was like for actual fans. Let me take a look here real quick. Okay, well, it's actually been since 2016 since there's been a new Tales game. But
wow.
Before that, it was like 2015, wow. 2012, 2011. So they typically have 1 to 2 year breaks.
5 years is right, a pretty okay. long wait.
Yeah,
right?
Huh. So, yeah.
One other thing I would like to mention here, just because I know both Steve and I have played this game, and this is just, this is weird, man. So, remember Marvel's Avengers? That cool Destiny-stuffed game?
Oh, yeah.
So, this is weird. So, people have already been complaining that there's a lot of grinding in Avengers, right? And there is, but even based on the little of it that I played, it felt like there was. But Crystal Dynamics has now said there's an update coming to Avengers on March 18th that adds even more grinding by increasing the number of experience points you need to level up past level 25. So anything past 25, it's going to take you even longer to hit those new levels than it already does. And Crystal Dynamics has gone so far as to warn players, if you want your level ups, get them in now. Like, grind now, because it's about to get harder. Why? Yeah. People are already complaining. Why?
You know, Final Fantasy XIV had a much longer, more quests. They trimmed quests after how many years? I think like in 2018 or 2019, just because we don't need all these extra ones. They're just mindless, like go here, do this, go. Nothing that really advanced the story. So they trimmed it to make it quicker for you to get to the really good content. But I guess Marvel Avengers doesn't really have good content to get to. So they're like, we're just going to make this last longer for you.
Right.
Yeah, this is the dumbest shit.
It's so dumb. I don't get it.
This comes from they have to be hurting for like whatever their content update pipeline is for this game has to be broken. Because mm-hmm. the only reason I can think that you would do this is okay, we just don't have the time or ability right now to introduce more quests or new characters. So we have to find a way to extend people's playtime. And someone was like, why don't you just give less experience? And everyone's like, why would you do that? And they're like, I already hit the button. It's fine. We're doing it.
It sucks, man. Because, I mean, imagine what could have been with the Avengers. This could have been the mm-hmm. ultimate power fantasy, right? Like, if they had made the Avengers game that everybody wanted without Destiny grinding loot box shit in it. I mean, because as Steve and I have said, the core gameplay, like the main campaign, enjoyable. Enjoyable, yeah. Straight up. It's when everything else gets shoved into it that it starts to lose its luster, and not just lose its luster, but get really, really grindy and just not fun. It's just a shame because they have this incredible license and they were so close, but then they just, for whatever the reason, the powers that be demanded that it be a loot box style grind fest like in Destiny, and I just don't understand why when you have the Avengers of all licenses.
Ugh. Yeah.
I mean, very few games start out with characters people give a shit about.
Right.
And they had that, and they're like, hey, how can we ruin it? I want to point out real quick, because there is another depressing piece of news that you would be atypical for me not to be happy about. Angel Martinez in the chat mentioned that Bandai also announced Kakarot DLC, along with Gogeta for FighterZ, which I think was Super Saiyajin 4 Gogeta, and more DLC for Xenoverse 2, and I'm not happy, which is weird, because y'all know how much I fucking love Dragon Ball.
But right.
The Why game, are you not happy?
The game is called Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, and I feel like that is really something that Bandai Namco lost sight of. Because it's the Trunks story. it's future Trunks fighting the androids. Bitch, what the fuck? I didn't buy Dragon Ball Trunks. Also,
well, everybody loves future Trunks.
I get that future Trunks is cool, and if the game were a general Dragon Ball Z game, I'd be down. But this is Goku's game. Like, this is just supposed to be Goku. And there's still a bunch of shit they haven't told. Like, the last DLC put us at the fight with Golden Frieza. Goku just got Super Saiyan Blue. I mean, you've got the Tournament of Power.
Well, there you go. There's right there. If you want future Trunks, why don't you adapt Goku Black?
Yeah, I was going to say, you got Goku Black. You could get future Trunks that way. You've got the Tournament of Power. You could get Ultra Instinct. You could give almost everybody but Trunks a little bit of shine in the Tournament of Power. And then you've got the Moro arc, which is still which just wrapped up in the manga, which would be dope to see in some kind of video game form. I just don't know why they decided to mine one of the earliest stories of Dragon Ball Z when they were working chronologically forward. It just doesn't make any sense. And it
gotta
also
go for
just,
that fan favorite, I guess.
Like, why do we introduce a new character now? I don't know. It's fucking dumb.
That said, I did see Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta in the gameplay of him. I think if you get his max special in the game, he gets an instant kill. They showed off on the stream. I saw it on Twitter. It's an instant kill. They showed him unleashing this. Like, he did a taunt to raise it up and unleashed it on a party that had completely full health. Every character wiped them all out. Instant win.
That's awesome.
That's
so
ridiculous.
Gogeta's ridiculous.
Yeah. So I feel like that's probably going to piss off some people who are concerned about balance.
I've mostly seen people really happy.
Okay.
I mean, to be fair, it probably requires an absurd amount of time to charge. Like, more
that's
than
true.
Any
that's true.
Yeah, that's, that seems to be the case if I had to guess.
Right.
So now that I think I first noticed it where it's a debate, like, okay, who's better, Ultra Instinct Goku or Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta?
Man, that gets into this whole GT versus super canonical lore shit that I don't think the internet is ready for. But I'm just going to say the Super Saiyan 4 gets smoked. That's just how it is.
Oh. Fighting words.
All right, hold up. Hold up. We can do some math. All right? So if you pull out your Dragon Ball YouTuber math real quick.
Uh-huh.
The multiplier for Ozaru is 10 times. You get 10 times stronger when you become an Ozaru. Super Saiyan gives you 50 times. So technically, by the time you're a golden Ozaru, which is just an Ozaru transformed into Super Saiyan, you should be about 500 times more powerful than you were. Then Super Saiyan 4 comes in. I don't know that there's an official calculation for that to Google. SSD 4 power increase. Mm-hmm. Let's see. The Konzenshu says it's anywhere between 50 and 400 times more powerful.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, but I'm just saying, if you're going 1, 2, 3, then there's God above that. And apparently you can hurt opponents in God form that can one-shot you when you're Super Saiyan 3. And then Blue is above that. And then Ultra Instinct is so far beyond Super Saiyan Blue form that you can one-hit KO people who punched a hole through your fucking chest when you transform into that. I think it's a little more powerful than furry monkey form. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, fair enough. I will take your word for it, man. Wataniac says, Steve, have you considered working for Screw Attack? And I have to agree, you would be a great death battle researcher.
Goku versus everybody.
As long as you put me on all the Goku episodes.
Nice. And
I will await your call, Craig from Screw Attack.
Yeah.
I have to imagine you were pretty upset about the Goku versus Superman episode.
Yeah. That sucked.
Oh, that did suck. I agree.
Me and my brother used to have these constant debates because he was Team Superman and I was clearly Team Goku, have been. And he'd always pull out some dumb American comic book shit that Superman did. Like, well, in this one side story, Superman lived on the sun and he had like a throne on the sun and he lived there for generations because he absorbs... He absorbs power through the sun's rays, and that's what makes him more powerful. And he's closer to it; he can become eternal. And I used to, troll my brother so badly. I was put in reference. I was 11. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just be clear, because I'm not proud of where I went with this argument.
Oh my god.
But
I would ask him to explain to me, like, biologically, how Superman absorbs sun rays, right? And he's like, I don't know. It's just like Kryptonian biology. And I'm like, do you think he maybe has like a second sun butthole? Like, it's just...
My God.
The sun's rays filter through a second anus that only Kryptonians have. And he's like, that doesn't happen. I'm like, can you prove it, though? Where's the proof that he does not have a second
butthole? I love how you at 11 was doing...
Can you prove it? I love how you're placing the burden of proof on him.
That is the ultimate troll.
Yeah.
Until Jim Lee comes out and says that he does not have a second butthole, I will forever believe that is the source of Superman's power.
I think Death Battle was pulling out stuff was like, the Silver Age stuff, which is just ridiculous for all superheroes, where I think Superman was literally pulling planets into different orbits.
Speaking of ridiculous, like, superhero conversations, so as I've mentioned before, every Monday night I get together with two of my best buddies on Discord. We play some games, usually Fall Guys, who was Scott Pilgrim last week. But we got into a really heated debate last week because my one friend was trying to convince the other two of us, and my wife, who happened to be nearby, he was trying to convince the three of us that Storm, as in the X-Men, or the X-Woman Storm, is not nearly as powerful as people make her out to be. She's doesn't matter if canonically she's an Omega-class mutant, that she's not that powerful, and even the Punisher could body Storm.
What?
The Storm wouldn't have a chance against the Punisher.
No!
Okay, that's just as ridiculous to you both as it was to all of us, right? Like, how... What,
oh, yeah.
Right? Okay, I just want to make sure. Yeah.
No!
How do you ever even try to make any argument that the Punisher, of all characters, could body Storm?
He didn't say her and didn't like not full on fight, but
He sniped, even if he sniped her, she could hide inside a tornado. And then, that point, by the way. And he said, "Well, a tornado isn't going to stop a bullet."
Yes, it is.
Thank you. What? Of course it is. And I was like, at the very least, it's going to change its trajectory, if not outright stop it.
Uh-huh.
And he was just he kept digging in, and we're all like, dude, take the L, man. Anybody who's ever trying to convince anyone that Storm would get bodied by the Punisher, you need to sit down and take that L, man. Come on.
You can't even make the excuses you can with Batman with the Punisher. But Batman has money, at least, that can pull off this crap. Punisher just has more guns.
Yeah.
The Punisher is essentially a Republican without a red hat.
Yeah.
But...
a hobo with a gun.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Derek Alotovich says, this reminds me of a skinny friend that was convinced he could take on a lion in a fight.
What?
This I'm just assuming he lost. Better.
Well, hopefully he didn't try. Hopefully he didn't test that theory. Jesus.
Oh my God.
I love that we all have this one delusional friend in our lives.
Yeah.
That just has these wild ass theories about weird shit. I would say my brother and I going through Superman was probably one of the wilder things that my brother and I would argue about. But yeah, it's I remember once knowing someone who said they could pick a person up by their wrist and their ankle and like just swing them through the air. And I was like, is this person you're proposing you're going to do that to like a baby? And they're like, no, man, I could pick up a full-grown man and do that. No, you can't. Uh-huh. You absolutely can't. You would be the strongest human being on Earth if you could pick up someone from dead weight and spin them like you're in Tekken. I was like, that's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I love those incredibly nerdy conversations because even though they are that nerdy, when there is just such a one-sided argument, it's like, yeah, I realize how nerdy this all sounds coming out of my mouth, but you are so wrong that I have to tell you.
Your wrongness compels me to talk more.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna leave until you admit you're stupid.
Exactly. He did eventually admit that he was wrong. He's like, okay, I guess you all have presented me with enough evidence that the Punisher could not beat Storm. And I'm like, we shouldn't have needed to present you with any evidence. You should know this.
That just reminds me of Danganronpa, where Hero, like, you start off the one thing where it's like, all right, how do we know this character isn't dead? Isn't the victim? Meanwhile, the character he's saying might be dead is standing there alive in the courtroom. And you have to prove to him that he's actually, they're dead. They're alive. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I just like to remind people that, you know, whenever we start talking about Marvel power levels and stuff, hey, MVC Infinite Story Mode may have been crappy and not very good, but it did establish that X is canonically the only character who's powerful enough to handle all 6 Infinity Stones other than Thanos and Iron Man. Just wanted to put that out there. Yeah.
All right. With that, I think we've covered all the major headlines from today's news, as well as plenty of other off-topic things that we just wanted to talk about. A lot of those. But before we sign off, we have to give a special thanks to all of our patrons, whether you're at the $1 tier or the highest tier. You all mean the world to us. But of course, extra special thank you to those at the producer tier for helping to make this show happen. In addition, a massive, massive thank you to our patrons at the executive producer tier and above. And those fine folks include Jared Ettinger, Brandon Bovia, Rob Arman X, Dan and Twistle, Z Patty, Hyrule Hermit, Sky Blue Flames, Adam O'Sullivan, Richard Herrera, Michael Fone, Floating Mew, Echo Carroll, Christopher, The D-Pad, Vesmio, Waffle King, Nick Waterman, Kitty Kong Facts, Angel Martinez, Vedron Hotik, Macalow, John, Joshua Hunter, Evernight Studio, Benny Yao, Shadow the Cat, Alicia, Azran127, Kenroulet09, Jake Pelka, Geller, Shiny Turkey, Joseph Rutkin, Titus Malvolio, Charlie Bird, Lucky Wonderfish, Top Dog 23100, Young Ben Kenobi, Charles Zaz, Douglas Comics, Andrew Medeiros, RMM, Brady Power, Phantom 23, Scott Barber, Patrick Harrison, Becca, Fizzy Wigoid, Rox the Cat, Loyal Dingo, Flaming Highwayman, Sean Garrett, The Legend of Groose, Eddie B, Kai Ed, Kit Fisto, West Egg, Master Lynx, Sean Davis, Deaneth, Jackson Jordan, Michael McCall, Matthew Wong, Ashish Joshi, Goron Amber, Straight Lace, Booby, Wolf X Blake and Moon Macarons, Kane, Captain Finlandia, 60 Minutes in 60 Seconds, The Game Orb, Dano the Artist, Synchro Lord, Brainchild, Rosa Bowling,
Hi Mom,
Darkumi 87, The Flying Tacos, Scuff 196, Skull Kid Tiger, AJB Cool, Chip Damage Mike, Jason Uloa, and our new executive producers, Jaden Buck, who upgraded to it, and Phantom Project, who is brand new. Thank you all so much.
EP Holy crap. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Hell yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. And Wataniac, yes, I've gotten the DDR question. I live on the 5th floor. I can't play any DDR, unfortunately, so, yeah.
And remember that you, too, can become a patron over at patreon.com/GVGaming, where you can watch today's news tonight live for as little as $5 a month. Thank you all so much for watching, and if you like this video, be sure to subscribe to Good Vibes Gaming for more good times like these. Until next time, good night, good vibes.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.